Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Kelce joins us every single Thursday at this time. Of course, we especially love it when it's entering a playoff game. Eagles and the Rams, the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Jason is always brought to us by Garage Beer. The garage always open, like beer, like it used to be, and is still with Garage Beer. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer or at drinkgaragebeer.com. Once again, that website, drinkgaragebeer.com. Official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere. We welcome Jason back to the show. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Joe. How are we doing?
Good, bud. Excited? I'm very excited. And you know what, Jason? I am very confident. I wouldn't say supremely confident, but very confident the Eagles will take care of business versus the Rams. And, you know, we're trying to figure out today if we're actually a little overconfident. Because I will say this, we probably are.
Yeah.
But I kind of don't care. Because I just, that's how confident I am, if that makes sense. that, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, no, I think if you feel like you're overconfident, you're probably overconfident. that's how it works. Yeah, I think... Yeah, I mean, this is a really good team. I mean, we're in the divisional round of the playoffs, and this is one of the best weekends of football that there is because everybody left is good, and anybody has a chance to win. But I do agree. I think Philadelphia is the more talented team. Yeah. I think that they should win this game. It's at the link, and the Rams had a fantastic game against the Vikings. But for sure, I definitely think that the Eagles win this game.
You know what I'd frame, based on what you just said, because I agree with you, all eight teams are good. Not all eight teams are great.
Yeah.
And there's five great teams left. It's the 1 and 2 seeds in both conferences plus Baltimore. They're the five teams that are left that are great. Then there's the other three teams.
Yeah.
And the Rams are one of the other three teams. But they are a lot better than they have. So how much better are they than 2 months ago when the Eagles and Rams played?
They're a lot better. I mean, they dealt with a lot of injuries early on in the season. Obviously, they had some things going on with Puka and across at their skill positions, but their offensive line was really banged up. And as they've gotten healthier, they've also been young on the defensive side of the ball. They're playing really, really good right now, especially up front. So they're an improved team for sure. And I think they're clicking on all cylinders right now, especially after that Vikings game. You know, they had the last week where they kind of rested some starters. I thought that they looked just head and shoulders fresher than the Vikings. I mean, they played fast. And it was a really, really good performance for them.
How worried should Rams fans be that the emotion runs out? You know, they got a lot going on.
Yeah, of course.
It does feel like they got a lot of adrenaline, and you could see it in the wild card round. At some point, I'm going to assume that's hard to maintain, and I hope it runs out soon. I hope it runs out at some point during the next few quarters that they're playing against us. What are the odds of that? I mean, how hard is it to maintain the playoff emotion?
Well, I mean, for one day a week, it's not that hard. I think, you know, if you're trying to maintain it throughout the course of the week and, you know, over a course of a couple weeks, it's very difficult. I think that, you know, what they have going on over there, it can be a very galvanizing force. And I think we saw that a little bit against the Vikings. I also think it was, quite frankly, just they had rest from a week before. And, the Vikings played a very physical game against the Lions the week before, and I thought that the Rams just looked so much faster and so much just like fresh legs, especially up front on the defensive line, where that makes a huge difference. Their D-line was getting all over the place. I mean, everybody was getting sacks.
There were like six sacks in the first half, at least half a sack.
So it was a very dominant performance by that D line. I think a lot of that can be attributed, just quite frankly, to the rest, but also to the galvanizing force that's happening in LA as well.
So how different is it playing Jalen Hurts compared to playing Sam Darnold for that defense? The way that they played Sam Darnold, when we saw 2 weeks in a row, Sam Darnold got housed.
Yeah.
If defenses try to man it up and do that same thing to Jalen, I feel like Jalen will tear their guts out as they run with their backs to him. He'll be running for first downs. How much validity do you think goes into that?
I think most teams struggle to play man against us for multiple reasons. I think part of it is what you just said, where the back is turned, and if Jalen decides to run, if he breaks through that initial defensive line structure, he has a lot of space. I also think that we have really good receivers and a lot of other things that make it difficult to play man. So, the problem that the Rams are going to have is, I think if they're going to want to stop the run game, they're going to have to contribute another safety to the box. And if they do that, they're going to leave guys out on the outside exposed in one-on-one situations. So I just think it's I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble in multiple ways. And they're a very good team. I just think our offensive line is much better than the Vikings is. I think that Sam, we saw the last couple weeks, something that was probably a weakness all year, was that he can hold on to the ball, and people, if you get pressure on him, can get make some plays. And unfortunately, that was the way their season ended for the Vikings. But I just don't think we're at all the same team. I feel very confident that our offensive line is going to protect much better. And I feel very confident with all the weapons we have.
You think rust impacted Jalen last game, Jason?
I think a little bit. I'd also think, I think that's a difficult defense that we've kind of struggled with that structure before.
The Green Bay defense?
Yeah. They play a very similar defense this year to what San Francisco has done in the past. And those are, for whatever reason, it feels like the points and kind of how we've operated has been limited against those style defenses. I think that the rust definitely plays a factor, but I don't think we ran block particularly well either. I know the run game was better, but I thought there was more to be had across the board offensively, to be honest with you. So I don't think it's fair to just put it on Jalen. I think that there was a number of things everyone could have done better. I think from a game plan standpoint, I'm sure the coaches feel that they could have done better.
So
I think that there's a lot of things that could have gone better offensively.
So
defensively, about as good as you can do.
That was phenomenal. That was unbelievable.
The coverage and everything else. I mean, we're worried about how losing your green dot affects the coverage, about how, in the middle of the field, where it does feel like they're going to try to take advantage. Yeah, with N'Kobe out.
And N'Kobe not only was having an outstanding game. I mean, he was balling out before the injury happened, so that was, that's really, really unfortunate. I do think, there have been guys in and out at that linebacker position all year, and it feels like guys have gone in, and it hasn't been a detriment. Even if they're not to the same caliber, it feels like the defense is still held true. So I feel pretty confident, but I understand that's a good point. Yeah.
When did Nolan Smith start dominating people? Because it seems like we as fans kind of missed that. If there was a turning point in this season,
like a month or two ago,
oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm trying to remember who they were playing.
Just clobbers everybody.
He does.
Nolan's a little bit undersized, right? And that was a big knock on him. And I think it's hard when you have an undersized end to set the edge. That's what I think is the real weakness with an undersized. Like, if we see an undersized edge, I'm telling Stout, hey, let's motion a double tight end over here and run outside zone to him, because if he can't set the edge, they cannot stop this play, right?
Yeah.
If you can do that as an undersized guy, you're also a mismatch a little bit in passing situations, because those tackles aren't built to block guys with that type of quickness.
Yep.
And that's where you have the Von Millers and all these guys that are smaller, but they play bigger, and they present a number of mismatches for these bigger lumbering tackles.
Yep.
I think when you see Nolan, especially the past 2 months, he has been so physical at the point of attack, to the point where he just throws his body in there. And I remember him taking a counter on, and he collapses the edge, because that double team is trying to create space between the edge and in a hole right there where they kick out. He collapses that space and then cuts the tackle, which messes up the tight end trying to pull around that.
So it condenses the whole thing,
accordions it. And I think there's ways to play big as a smaller guy, and he's figured it out. And I think he's doing a fantastic job right now in that aspect. And it's allowed him to be on the field more, and now he's having more production in the pass game and all these other things.
Well, that's a huge deal, too. With the play that you're describing, a huge part of what we do, the power, the counter concept, yes. You've got one puller, and then you've got a second puller who has to get in phase mm-hmm. with that first puller. So when Nolan Smith blows up that first puller, yeah. he's not only dominating his matchup, but he's winning someone else's matchup for them, because that guy who's the puller who's supposed to be in phase with the guy who blocked Nolan yeah. is now completely taken out of the play.
And it's a completely unselfish way to play, and that's the way this whole defense is playing. I mean, you're basically a kamikaze at that point. Like, it's like, I'm just going in here wreak as much havoc as I can so that somebody else can scrape over the top and make the play.
Love it.
Amazing.
He's doing fantastic.
All right, John, real quick, the ultimate Eagles kamikaze.
Brandon Short, right?
Jason Short. 1,000%.
Brandon Short was a player also, though, from Cal.
Was he a Giant, maybe?
Brandon Short was a Giant.
Yeah.
Jason, this is about 10 years before you. There was this guy named Jason Short.
Yeah.
The old punt return when you could have, what, a wall, John?
The wedge. Buster,
the wedge,
right?
Yeah.
The wedge.
He would be the guy that would bust the wedge. He would just go
full
down there.
Full Throttle was his nickname.
How crazy.
Full Throttle.
I think about that because I actually was going to do like a fullback bit and a kickoff return, like wedge unit bit for the late show. Because I wanted to pay an ode to like all of these guys that had like the crappiest jobs ever in the NFL.
We were, as a fullback, you were doing your fullback thing. You were running
the
ball
wedge
45 times lead ISO per game.
Yes.
But you're also the wedge. Every kickoff return, you're setting the wedge.
I played with Owen Schmidt. I had a fullback for 2 years in Philly. And I just remember him a couple years ago saying, like, how crazy is it? We used to run back.
Yeah.
Link arms like a human wall.
Yes.
And then somebody behind you would say,
I think,
go!
Exactly.
And he would just run down the field. And
fast and hard as you could, and you would just kill anything that came in front of you.
Yeah.
But you would link. I think it must have been illegal to link arms, but every team did it.
Yeah, right.
We were linked up. It was like Red Rover.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
And it was like a schoolyard game just with like giant men who are way too big and powerful to be doing this. On the other side, there was just like a human missile whose job it was to take out as many of the guys as possible.
Yeah.
The NFL's like, all right, throttle. No more of that.
Yeah, but probably not the best plan. Human bowling is probably not the way
to go. It was wild.
We learned that was unsafe.
It was my favorite part of the special teams meeting the next, like, there was like the day after the game, and everybody in the special teams meeting was just so geared up to see, like, what kind of mayhem happened on this play in the game.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this quickly, and then right to the calls. Best, John, you'll remember this. First Cleveland in 04. When Jason, and it's a shame, he gets a concussion on one of those plays. He's down for like 5 to 7 minutes. Everybody's concerned about him. He gets up after the commercial break and just starts screaming at the Cleveland bench.
It's like Rod Tidwell. It's the real life Rod Tidwell right there.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. Yeah. Got a lot of calls. Jason with us for an hour. Of course, big playoff game coming up on Sunday. In 10 minutes, 8 o'clock, we give you a name. And with that name, you can win tickets to the Eagles-Rams game. And, of course, you can win those tickets tomorrow. You got to listen. In 10 minutes, 8 o'clock for a name. And we look forward to giving away the tickets.
And courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
But I also want to get to some A.J. Brown audio this segment and more. We'll get Jason's thoughts on playing in the snow, which, of course, he most famously did as a pro athlete. Of course, maybe college and high school, but as a pro athlete versus Detroit in 2013. So we'll get to that shortly. Tom in Dover. Tom, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, listen, Joe, I just came in from walking. I was telling you, and I must have was on delay or something, because I heard about you calling people from the tub last night, and I thought you called me from the dorm.
No!
I called you from the car.
That's a slap in the face, man.
Tom, I was...
That is a dirty, slap in the face.
He was naked talking to you.
I was fully clothed.
I got to apologize, because while I was waiting for my turn, I checked Jimmy, and he called me at 5:36, so he couldn't have gotten in the tub that early.
No, no, it was an afternoon tub yesterday, and I talked to you more late, more 7 o'clock or so.
An afternoon tubby.
It was actually.
I guess he felt bad, so he checked his burner phone yesterday. And he probably thinks, I've been texting him since Thanksgiving. That's the only.
Look, you texted him. You texted me about a week or so ago, and
it
I got
feels like
back
a lot of people were hurt by your tactics.
Burner
phone tactics.
You hurt people's feelings. People.
Well, you know, the other time in my professional existence, I did something that was tactically probably inappropriate. So years ago when I had no Twitter followers, like 100,000.
Oh, I remember when you did this. Yeah. Total jerk move.
Jason, tell me if this is appropriate.
It is.
Followed.
Yeah.
On Twitter, I followed thousands of Philadelphia sports radio listeners because I could tell they followed prominent sports radio hosts. Okay. So I follow thousands of people.
Yes.
They all follow me back.
Yep.
And then I dropped all of them.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's a great strategy.
Right?
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's so dishonest.
It's so rude. It's so rude. The excitement that people got, they're like, wow, Joe's following me.
There's just no accountability whatsoever.
Isn't the entirety social media dishonest?
Like, yeah, good point, Jason.
Yeah, right. But to the system.
But isn't this part of Machiavelli? The ends justify the means.
Didn't they, though?
Yeah. All right, so, Tom, I feel justified.
Yeah, you're really treating your audience well. That's smart.
All right, Tom, I feel good about it.
Hey, Jason.
What's up, Tom?
I've never got a chance to talk to you as much as I call and I listen to you, but I just want to ask you this one question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about us making this run without you?
Good question.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very much happy for all of the guys there, all the coaches, all of the players. Of course, you know, I'm one season out of it, so I do have some of part of me that wishes I could be there and be a part of something like this. But you know, it was my time. I still feel like I made the right decision, and this is the way it goes. And it's been fortunate that it's happened this quickly for the Eagles. I think that I know so many of those guys so well. I'm really, really happy for them. And you know, listen, I know I'm not out there playing the game, but to a certain extent, you know, I think that I still have had an impact on Stout and his career and some of these guys in their careers, and Cam Jurgens and Jalen Hurts. Like, I was a part of them learning and adjusting, welcoming them to the league, just like I had Todd Harriman's and Evan Mathis and Jason Peters and players do that for me. So in some ways, I feel like I'm still a part of the team, if I'm being quite frank, even though my impact is far, 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 far less.
That's great, Jason. That's cool you feel that.
That would be how I feel. You know, obviously would love to be out there with those guys and go into battle, but I think it's more just immense pride that they're getting it done, that the offensive line has played as well as they have. And yeah.
And you sort of set that tradition. I mean, you've played a huge part in creating the offensive line tradition here in Philadelphia.
Of course, no question. All right, Tom, give me an answer real quick, Tom.
I think that far preset me. I think that Andy Reid and a lot of people, and anyways, yeah.
Huge part for you, though.
Tom, who deserves a crown?
Hey, listen to this, Jay. Listen to this, Jay.
Hit me.
Forget that crown that John is talking about. I mean, that Joe's talking about. Get that mummer suit out.
All right.
Get that mummer suit out. We're going to do it again.
All right, Tom. Good work, buddy. Love it. Love it. You know, Jason, I was just thinking there when you were giving that answer, thank God you won one, and obviously credit to you and the guys.
Right.
You would probably view this very different if you didn't. And I got to imagine Connor Barwin. Like 2016, he's an Eagle. 2017, he's not.
Right.
That's got to be tough on guys like that.
I think it is a little bit. I mean,
because he didn't have one. You have one. He didn't get one.
I think both things can be true, though. I think Connor was genuinely happy for me and all the guys that he played with. And I think, of course, he misses out.
Yeah.
You know, that he wasn't there for that. But I think that, you know, I don't think that it has to be one thing or the other.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm probably in a similar boat here. And I think that that's okay, right? You can be happy and also, you know, man, I wish I was out there as well. Like, I don't think it has to be one or the other.
No, I'm with you.
I
think it does help that I've won one for sure. You know, I know that, I mean, I think there's reports or something out there, like when guys got hurt our Super Bowl year, there were guys that were like upset about not being out there, right? And I think that that's very natural and very much a human emotion. But I think at the end of the day, You also feel good for your teammates.
That's great.
The guys that are out there.
So here's a random NFL storyline, a little under the radar, but we should bring it up because it ties into the Eagles this year and the Giants and all that. Hard Knocks might not have offseason Hard Knocks again. This could be one and done. Yeah. So the Saquon thing, there's an NFL Films vice president that was on record on TV yesterday saying no teams are stepping up right now.
Yeah.
And the Saquon, Joe Shane phone call and John Mara, like...
You got to think that probably...
That's a wrap, folks.
It's probably made some GMs nervous about...
Owners, too, I would think.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think you totally. Imagine...
Yeah,
if totally. That, I mean, this what they consider superfluous production team who comes in from the outside gets you fired. Like that's very
that's wild, it, man.
Although Joe like Shane, I think Joe Shane did get fired.
I think they said
did not. No, they kept fired. Him. They kept Joe Shane.
Yeah, but that's the fear, you know.
Yeah, of course,
like, he came really close.
Yeah, and not just that, but also just an overall embarrassment. And,
that's the thing.
Yeah, and look like fools.
Yes.
And then you know, is there some type of competitive advantage that they're always worried about when any of this stuff is happening? I mean, I thought it was absolutely awesome. And it was an interesting look into the front office, which had not really been covered before. But obviously, the Saquon thing was a big negative for the Giants, so I could see why other teams would be.
Hesitant. Totally.
Yeah.
And also, I'll just say the methodology of Joe Shane on that, maybe it was one phone call, maybe it was two with Saquon. I thought it was, I don't know if inappropriate is the right term. I'll just say uncool, and other athletes could see it and say, because, John, he was giving him the line, like, can I have your word? Can I have your word? And by the way, he's like, if you really want to be a Giant for life, then come back.
Right.
Like, it's like, dude, don't throw that at me.
Right.
Yeah, that's not cool.
It was his negotiating tactic or whatever it was. The way he was coming across was incredible. It felt inappropriate. It felt, I don't know if that's even the right word, like no one could respect him as much after seeing that.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It was a behind closed doors situation.
Totally.
That, man, it makes it tough for any front office member to want to do this ever again.
There's this weird thing. Well, not weird, but, like, you know, football is obviously just this intense game of teamwork and togetherness and everyone on the same page, and it's the ultimate team game that there is. And what Hard Knocks first exposed, I mean, I still remember when it was the Cincinnati Bengals, and they have Jim Limpincott walks into the dorm room and cuts the guy right there. And it was like the first eye-opening experience for me as like a football player, like, oh my gosh, like these guys like do not matter to some of these people upstairs. And I think this like front office version of that is like another level of that where it's like you have conversations like this where it's like, man, this is clearly like just a negotiating tactic. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it. That's what happens when you're trying to build a roster. If you're a good GM, you're going to utilize tactics. You're going to try and find ways to maximize value.
Yeah.
And it's an unfortunate side to be public sometimes,
yeah,
I think.
Totally. Sometimes it's unseemly.
Yeah.
And that's what this was.
But a fascinating for the fans
forever,
to watch.
Like,
fascinating.
I mean, it could not have asked for better content.
Really could have.